glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair.
Everyone magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 31st, 2019, the last day in this great month of May. June, welcome tomorrow.
Yeehaw.
Yes.
Yeehaw.
I don't know if you can hear my voice, but I've been sharing so many stories and talk in the last 3 days that I'm a little hoarse, and it's like, oh, gosh. Yes. But exciting times, and I want to announce a few things before. I did a little build-up, Jason, on, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday's program talking about the great conference that we got to attend last week, and I said, I got to get you in here so you can kind of put some meat to the things I was trying to reference or refer to, but I think through maybe a couple things you might want to share and say about that special trip we had to Atlanta to the Ravi Zacharias International headquarters, their ministry headquarters, which was a blessing and a great accommodations as far as for the meetings and what they did for it. But hopefully we'll share a little about that. But I want to do a special shout out for some friends. In fact, Hardin James sang with the Singing Men for a number of years. He and his wife Helen are celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. 70 years. Wow. That doesn't happen too much nowadays just because of the fact of you have to be usually in your 90s or so, but married 70 years. And they invite the Great News Radio listeners, those Singing Men that know them or friends in and around the Potomac area. They're going to have a reception at the Number 10 Church of Christ. It's right outside of Potomac.
The Number 10 Church of Christ?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Number 10. I can't
like
remember.
Like the number sign and 10?
Yeah. Number N-O dot 10, number 10 church.
How many are there?
Well, maybe nine others. I don't know. But it's been called that for, gosh, 100 plus years. I don't know. That's I always
really?
Remember that. Yeah, there used to be a great piano tuner that attended that church, and they're going to have a special gathering, a celebration on Saturday, June 1st. So tomorrow between 1 and 3 p.m., and the gift of your presence is all that they request. And Hardin and Helen James were married on June 5th of 1949. Many of our listeners weren't even born then, but many of you senior since. You've been around since 1949. They were married at the Number 10 Church of Christ. They have four children. Tom of Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Rick of rural Potomac. In fact, Rick a few times went out to our 50th and Tower and sprayed down some of the weeds that were growing and helped out. He and Hardin did some mowing out there for us some years back. Then there's Mark of Austin, Texas. And then Melody DeMonico of Atlanta, Georgia. She's their daughter. I knew Melody and know Melody. Her and her husband, Ron, were supporting of this radio ministry and friends. Hardin and Helen have 9 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, and they're expecting their 7th, and they've farmed most all their lives right there in the Potomac area. Hardin retired, actually both of them. Helen used to drive like the grain truck. You know how many wives they farm right alongside their husbands or help out with the errands or the trucking.
It's called the Number 10 Christian Church because it meets in the Number 10 schoolhouse.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for
look at that
for the technology.
Bam, right? I mean, amazing, isn't that? Yeah. I just knew that. I just, wow.
Just came to you.
Just came to me. Just like that.
All right.
Can you believe it?
So if you know Hardin and Helen James, join us and celebrate with them tomorrow, June 1st, between 1 and 3 p.m. at the Number 10 Church of Christ, just outside of Potomac. Actually, the church address is 27019 North, 470 East Road in Potomac. So, oh, yeah. And in fact, Hardin had this tragic farm accident years ago where I can't remember the combine, something collapsed on his head and crushed it. And there was many God sightings because he really shouldn't have made it.
Wow.
And he returned to the Singing Men after some surgeries and, you know, rehab and all that. And I remember when we sang a song, Ain't Got Time to Die, and we dedicated it to him. And he sang with us for a number of years. So we appreciate Hardin and Helen and their family. So congratulations on 70 years. Wow.
That's amazing.
Congratulations also go out to Linda Shannon. She's going to be the new librarian at the Georgetown Public Library. I met with her on Wednesday as somebody suggested, why don't I deliver the Prime Life Times papers there? And actually, the senior center is right next door in the same building as the library. So we'll have papers at the senior center there, the Georgetown Public Library. And so Linda's going to be the new head librarian. I don't know what else her title might be, but she's like in an acting capacity as of, I think, Monday, she'll be the new librarian there. And shout out to Willie at the Westville IGA, delivered papers there and met with him and a number of other store owners as I was visiting Danville and the Westville and the Georgetown area. Hey, are any of you living in and around Georgetown can deliver some papers for us?
There's
five or six different stops that would lighten our load, and the guy from Danville doesn't have to go all the way over to Georgetown from where his vantage point is. That would be, you know, going much further south, I guess. And so if you live in and around Georgetown and periodically come to the greater Champaign-Urbana area, let's talk. We'd love to assign you a few stops, including Wanza's Kitchen there in Georgetown and a few other locations. Oh, just so many God sightings. I've been sharing it with our board and some of our staff of how God's at work through this radio ministry. And so we always continue to ask and seek and request and desire your prayers and intercession. Seems like God is always on the move doing something, and that seems to be the case. We have some initiatives. I had a meeting with Nancy Brain and Cindy Guthrie, and they want to help launch some series of Taste of Retirement, and so we're praying that through and formulating how that could be a real blessing to our many listeners. And so some other things that we're considering and weighing and praying about. So I want to be in the center of God's will. So if you can pray with us that God will continue to order our steps and present things to us that are good and helpful and will build you up in your faith journey, help you understand and know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and just equip you to be his witnesses, his ambassadors to the world, to your world, to wherever you go each and every day. That would continue to be the desire of this radio ministry, to educate, edify, and evangelize. So, yeah, I've been talking a lot about that with staff and friends, and just excited to see where God's going to take us in the days ahead. But the Prime Life Times paper continues to expand. In fact, later today, I'm going to have lunch in Kingman, Indiana. I'm going to meet up with Robert and his wife, Darnell, and they are supporting the radio ministry and want to volunteer and help get the word out about the Prime Life Times. Robert, I think I mentioned it maybe last week, he's the manager over at a Walmart, I think, in Clinton, Indiana, and has some ideas and places where we can deliver the Prime Life Times paper. So I'm like, oh, wow, that includes a new county that we'll be serving and some other opportunities for people to know about this radio ministry and our Prime Life Times paper. So can't wait to see what God has in store for us today. So I'm looking forward to meeting them in person. They seem like a delight over the phone. So, oh, yeah. And all to say, I think I referenced this with Marianne the other day and maybe with you, but I'm thinking that God used our gathering at that church leaders conference, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, as kind of a foundational block to get me thinking in some ways and to expose me to some good, healthy conviction, and it did so much. And so I was saying, I want to get you in just to have you share some of your impressions, because you and I got to talk a lot about it on our trip down, our trip back, some of the impressions we had, some of the good conviction that we received, and then some of the information. So would you say it was worthwhile?
I would say it was the best conference I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of conferences, and I've been to conferences where John MacArthur's speaking, I've been to conferences where John Piper's speaking, I've been to conferences where the who's who of preachers are speaking, and this was, there was a couple people that people would know, but largely it was people that people probably wouldn't know, and I thought that there was a wealth of information that was being shared, and so I know you probably built everybody up and probably got them like, yeah, you know. But what I really want to share is maybe just it was how I took something and that they talked about and I internalized it. And I think it was just one person's talk that really was impactful, where all of them were impactful. And I think maybe over the next week or so, 2 weeks, we could kind of plod through it because there was so much. Right, I mean, it was so rich. Well, one of the gentlemen who was Michael Ramsden, and there was just a few things he said, but it really impacted me. he was talking about just how do we live and how do we move in the world. And, you know, I mean, as obviously as blessed are the peacemakers, those who come to make peace, those who come in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. You know, it made me think as he was talking, because he was talking about anger and he was talking about bitterness. And, you know, when we look around in the world, Mark, I mean, there's like so many things to be angry about, especially if you hate immorality, especially if you hate unrighteousness, especially if you hate wickedness, especially if you hate all these things. There's so many things to, like, be angry about and to get angry about. So many things to be bitter about. And I don't want to go for, like, what I would consider to be easy applause by naming those things. I mean, you don't have to. You subscribe to Focus on the Family. You subscribe to the AFA. You subscribe to the Family
Research Council.
Yeah, Family Research Council. Life Site. You subscribe to any of those kinds of things. You're going to realize what those things are. If you followed the events in the Illinois Assembly in the last few days, starting on Memorial Day and the holiday, where they snuck one past everybody. You already know what those things are to be angry about. I mean, they're all out there, and they're everywhere. I mean, what issues trip your trigger and make you point at a group of people and go, those people. And subtly, or maybe not so subtly, you begin to just gather around your people. You know, those people who agree with whatever it is that you're angry about. And we've become so good as a culture at doing that, at getting angry and finding a bunch of other people to get angry with us, and then we form a little group of people who are just angry. And that's led us to have what I would consider to be more anger, more bitterness, and more division than we've probably had in a long time. And it's caused us to move away from the unity that the Bible calls us to have. It makes us complicit in the division. See, it's really interesting because if we read the Bible doesn't give us the opportunity to be divisive. The Bible doesn't give us the opportunity to not be one, to not be united. The Bible calls us to those things as kind of a primary command at the conference. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the speakers was talking about Jesus' prayer when Jesus chose to pray was that we would be one. As the Father and the Spirit and the Son are one. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible doesn't give us the leeway to create division. It doesn't give us the leeway to harbor angerness and to harbor bitterness. One of the speakers had taught on this. It was a peace woman who is specialized in peacemaking. She quoted Romans 12:18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all, A-L-L, one of my favorite words in the Bible, all. We have an obligation as Christians to live at peace with all people. Now, it doesn't mean that we okay what is immoral, but I think the Bible more so wants to talk about how we deal with our own anger, how our motivations and our anger and our bitterness, what do we do with that? Not too long after we were at the conference, I was reading in Ephesians 4. I came home and I was reading this. And Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. And so, right away, you just said, well, wait, you just told me that biblically I don't get to get angry. But the Bible just said, be angry. Well, the reason the Bible says to be angry is because the Bible understands that you have emotions. The Bible understands that you're human. The Bible doesn't deny your humanity. It doesn't deny the fact that you get angry, that you have anger. Just like when the angels come, they don't go, why are you so fearful? I can't believe you're fearful. Instead, they go, hey, fear not. We know you get fearful. And then the Bible says, fear not. Why? Because the Bible says this is a natural emotion. I'm going to tell you what you should do with it. Fear not. We know you're going to get angry, but I'm going to tell you what to do with that anger. Don't sin, is what Ephesians says. Why? Because our anger will cause us to sin. I think that it was Bonhoeffer said that we should be wary of evil lest we become like the evil that we encounter. And so listen, the Bible understands that we get angry, but the Bible doesn't leave us with just that anger. The Bible tells us what to do with that anger. Don't sin. That means that in our anger and our hatred and our bitterness and our frustration, we can't allow that to drive us towards sinful behavior. And so many of you are going, well, what kind of sin? Well, I know when I say sin, what you're thinking about is immorality. You're thinking about wickedness. You're thinking about licentiousness, idolatry, and orgies, and all the kinds of things that are the big ticket sinfulness. But in Ephesians, it actually says, Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. That's the kind of sin that this passage is talking about. Because when we get angry and we get bitter and we get in our little camps of anger, what do we begin to do? We begin to talk foolishly, to joke crudely. We begin to talk in a corrupting way about other people. We begin to move towards division and away from unity.
And that's almost a little passive aggressive. It's like, oh, it's not bad. I'm just kidding. No, it's crude.
And if we were to contextualize this passage, it says, don't let this come out of your mouths. But I would also want to add the caveat, out of your keyboards. Because I think that in social media, we tend to do this. How many a truth come out in jest? How you really feel? You know why sometimes we think that meme is funny? Is because we think it's a funny way of saying how we really feel. Or we post those videos. Watch this person destroy this person. Gosh darn it, if we love somebody, would we want to watch them be destroyed? That's the antithesis of our message. Our message is salvation, not destruction. And so the Bible says, be angry. We know you're going to be angry, but don't sin. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I really love that the Bible gives you a time limit, doesn't it? It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. In fact, the New Living Translation translates it this way, don't go to bed angry. Which, like, if you get angry in the morning, maybe you got all day to be angry. But if you get angry at, like, 7 o'clock at night, and you're an early go-to-bed early kind of person, like, you don't get to be angry when you wake up. Why? Listen, God's mercies are new every day. Why aren't yours? Because your mercies aren't new every day when you wake up angry, do you? You wake up holding the same junk that you had in your heart the day before. And this is important because when we harbor anger and bitterness in our heart, we do the devil's work for him. Listen, how many times, friends, and I just want to be pointed in this because I'm really convicted by this. How many times have we been the devil's condemning voice to another group of people because we're angry? In a place where we should be building them up. Not building them up in their sin, but building them up so that they could be a picture of what they could be, not what they are. And how we've blown up bridges where we should have bridges. And so listen, I don't want to be the devil's tool in all of this. And the work of hatred and bitterness is to accuse and divide, to sow discord, to lead to division. And so listen, we can't avoid getting angry because we're human, but we can avoid what we do with our anger. And this leads me to a real powerful thought that Michael Ramsden had during one of the sessions. Because then what do? Because most of our anger is around injustice. Most of our anger is around the things that we see in the world that we don't think are just or right. When we see injustice, what do we tend to do? We get angry. We see racism, we get angry. We see abortion, we get angry. We see all the different things, we get angry. But what has subtly happened is we address injustice and the things that make us angry by becoming experts at getting other people angry with us. Mm-hmm. And the problem with this is that if our motivation for justice is anger and bitterness, if we do get justice, at the end we're still left with anger and bitterness. We're still angry and we're still bitter because that was our motivation. And this is incompatible with the life that we're called to live. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's awesome because you know why? How did God in Christ forgive us? For God so loved the world. That means that when our motivation for injustice is love, when we get justice, we're left with love. If we're experts at getting everybody angry with us, then how can angry together, how can we love one another? If all we're doing is getting angry with one another, how can we love one another? It's incompatible, the two things. And you and I, we can't switch gears like that. A story that was told at the conference that I just have to tell because I think that it makes this point more eloquently than any of my words do. There was an African pastor who serves in Jos in Nigeria, and he told this story. His name is Hassan John. And Hassan said that his church had been repeatedly attacked by local factions from the Islamic terrorist group of Boko Haram. And his church had been bombed, he'd been shot at, they'd been shot at. He himself has a $700 price on his head, which I think is not a lot of money, but Mark reminded me that that's like 2 years of pay in Nigeria, so it actually is a fair amount of money. But in fact, at one point during the time, his church has this fireproof tent, and somebody firebombed the church, and all the people during church had to get in this fireproof tent to survive. And he was frustrated. He was beyond himself, trying to minister in this area where all these things were happening. And he was getting angry, and he didn't know what to do with his anger. So he called a man in the church, and he told him, he said, what I need is I need an AK-47. They have one. I need one. He said if he had an AK-47, he could protect his church. Well, the man told him, he said, I can get you an AK-47, but it's going to cost about $1,000. And funds were scarce in the ministry of northern Nigeria, so Hassan struggled with how he might get that $1,000. So one day, not too long after that, he was sitting outside his church thinking about still how can he get the $1,000 so he can get the AK-47. When he saw a little Muslim girl walking by, a schoolgirl, selling peanuts. And he called out to her and he asked her why she wasn't in school. And she said, well, my mother's unable to pay the fees for school. And he looked at her and he said, I want to speak to your mother. And so the girl started off and Hassan began to follow, but he became fearful and concerned. One of the things he shared is he said, sometimes he says, I don't think before I do things. And so as he was following this girl, he was following her into this Muslim-controlled area, part of the village, where he is a Christian and he is just not very welcome. And at one point when he was walking in, he was met by the local imam who was absolutely suspect of why Hassan might be in that part of the village. And Hassan said, I want to speak to this girl's mother and find out why she's not in school. So the imam followed him because he was suspicious. And they went to the home, and the mother confirmed the daughter's story that it was indeed true. The family, along with many Muslim families, were unable to pay the fees for school. So Hassan and his church committed to pay the fees for that girl to go to school and seven other girls. And then over the year, 24 and 86 and then 136. Now, sometime later after this occurrence happened, Hassan's church was gathered on a Sunday morning and there was a huge commotion outside. And suddenly a man burst into the church and he said that the church was going to be attacked. It was going to be bombed. And Hassan, the true shepherd who doesn't always think before he did, ran outside to see what was happening. And when he went outside, he saw a boy on the ground being held down by another man. I believe he said in the story it was that imam. And after the boy had been picked up who had a bomb, Hassan said, what's happened here? And the imam looked at him and he said, because the kindness you showed our women and children, no harm will come to your church. And Hassan said this. He said, in anger and bitterness, I wanted an AK-47. But I realized that there was something more powerful than that. And that was love. That was love. See, if we just get angry and bitter, whatever we want, at the end we're just going to be angry and bitter. But if we start off loving, then when we actually get what we want, we'll be left with love. And we won't need AK-47s because we'll be too busy loving one another. Mm-hmm. And I'll close with just the Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, which says, Paul writing says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. I believe if we live that way, friends, we live better.
One of the many powerful lessons that we learned, and I think we'll continue on some future Fridays, maybe even on a Wednesday or something, we'll dig into some more of the things that God taught us, and we want to bring back to you because we think it's God-inspired moments and teaching, and hopefully we can all be blessed and be more diligent or intentional on our walk and our faith journey and representing Jesus to a hurting world. So, hey, thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.